I wanted to share something that I find basic and vital, and it has to do with remembrance. And that means it has to do with remembering things. So there are specific things in the Word of God that we are asked to remember. Now, I'm not teaching a full teaching on this, but I just wanted to touch base on one part of this. If you could turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's a wonderful section in the Word about remembrance. 1 Timothy 4. And that section is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And it begins with, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." I really like that, because we know that this is God's Word. The Spirit is God. The Spirit speaketh expressly. So this is called out. And this is like a figure of speech in a way. It's putting great emphasis on it more than figures therein contained, because it says that God is making an expressed point of this. And this has to do with putting things into remembrance. Verse 1 continues that in the latter times, and we don't even know when the latter times are. Maybe we're in it, maybe it's been going on for 2,000 years. I think that's probably the case. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That's sad, but that's not us. But we're being told that people were going to stop following Christianity. So some people will stop following. It could be people in the time of Paul. It could be people in 2,000 years. And it could be people today. I don't know. We don't know. But we're not supposed to guess at it either. We just understand the term latter times, that it's a time after what was spoken here. In the latter times, and maybe we can figure this out as time goes on, as God opens our understanding. But we don't know. We don't know if right now are those latter times. We don't know if those people who departed from the faith at 70 AD and thereafter were part of the latter times. For Paul, we don't know. And I don't want to make it oversimplified, but I just want to make a point that we're not clear on it yet. And I hope one day we will become clear on it. But whoever these people are, and whenever, we know that they gave heed, they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So God is expressly calling out the ploys of the devil. We are being warned, and let's just say that we're in the latter times, because truly we are, because any time latter than the day of Pentecost could be a time when seducing spirits do damage to the church, and they do, and doctrines of devils infiltrate the church, which they have. So we should give heed to the following verses. And it's because God asked us to. Please, he says, please, express, please, attention to this. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, we know that demons have no morality. We know that doctrines of devils are not moral messages, because they don't believe in morality. They completely cast it aside. We believe in morality. We're a select few. We believe in the importance of being moral in our judgments and in our actions. And we like to say that we all have good morals. But morality is a subject in and of itself, something we claim and something that we expect from ourselves. But you will not find that in devils or seducing spirits. And you will not find that in these people, verse 2, who speak lies. It is people who speak the lies, the critical lies, the hypocrisy. It is people who have seared consciousness. It is people of whom that hot iron is applied to. We've moved from seducing spirits and devil's doctrine to hypocritical people and seared consciousness. And those are people. So we move from spirit to people there. And these people who have no morals, just none. And you can't relate to that because you do have morals. You will have to drive your mind to accept the fact that any devil-influenced person and any seduced by spirit person does not have moral judgment.
Judgment, is it?
We're told attention to this. So some of the things that they do, forbidding to marry, that's one thing. That gets in fornication, acts into illicit moral behavior, obviously, as you will know, as you can imagine, as maybe you have done, not recently, but maybe before you became rooted and grounded in the Word. And that wasn't before time. Okay, but we've been rescued from that. And then it says, commanding to abstain from meat, which is sorely mistranslated. These people preach to hold yourself off from, it says meats, but it means food. It means articles allowed or forbidden, maybe by the Jewish law, because they dealt with that back then. Maybe by new laws that come from new sects and new groupings of people and new waves of fashion, of new trends and new diets and new ways to distribute doctrines of devils. And only this can only be done by seducing spirits, first and foremost. And that's how the devil moves his thing. He removes all moral judgment because it's in their DNA to have no morality. And they can do anything under the guise of control and under the guise of inflicting serious consequences. These people without moral judgment have an end game. And that end game is to afflict Christians with pain and severe consequences to where you have to listen to them. Otherwise, you could face imminent death or threats or a miserable life at a minimum. So we already know these things. We're faced with them. There's a little clarity in what I'm saying. But the things that these devils tell people to refuse, God has created. And created means to be formed originally. He originally formed them, but we need to get back to the original truth. The original truth being the garden, Genesis concept, herbs and seeds and fruit and such, and to be received with thanksgiving. And receive means participation, that you take it, that you participate in things of God. Thanksgiving means gratitude, that you have gratitude. Your language is grateful. And we are mentioned in there in this verse, verse 3, which believe and know the truth. We believe. We're the trustworthy people. That word believe means trustworthy. We are God's trustworthy people. He has entrusted his word with us. And now he's saying, pay attention to this. This is serious, folks. And know, and that's talking about full knowledge. Know the truth. Have full knowledge of the truth. So this message is going out to those people who have a full knowledge of the truth. And that makes them trustworthy. They act on it. Verse 4, for every original product, so to speak, or formation of God, is good. And not even one thing, not even anybody, nothing to be refused. Refused means cast off, rejected. If, and here's the criteria, if it be received into manifestation with thanksgiving. Well, what does that mean? It means that if you do eat these, anything, it's any food, doesn't matter what it is, if it be received into manifestation with thanksgiving. So there's that gratitude again, the same as before, grateful language, giving of thanks. So if you thank God for what it is that you're getting ready to eat, and you're grateful via your words and consequently your actions, then it's A-okay to participate. Verse 5, it is sanctified, made holy by the word of God in prayer. So your act of gratefulness, your act of thankfulness, you're manifesting this grateful language by praying in the name of Jesus Christ and by the word of God itself, makes it holy, sets it apart, makes it A-okay. And verse 6 says, if thou put the brethren. So now we know this is a three-part situation. Well, four parts. We've got God, we've got seducing spirits and devils, we've got people who are hypocrites and their conscience is seared, and then we've got us. So it's like a four-way affair. Four groupings here. And so we side with God, the seducing spirits and devilish doctrine spirits side with the devil, and so do the hypocrites who intend to destroy Christianity without having any moral judgment. They don't care. They want to cause damage, hurt, pain, death, even. They have no morals. You can't talk them out of it. You can't guide them with discourse. Not possible. They don't care. And those are the powers that be today. This shouldn't come as a surprise, but there is no moral judgment in them. Their quest, their goal is to bow down to seducing spirits and devilish doctrine and to destroy Christianity. They hate God's people. Absolutely, that's reality. This is how we deal with it. If thou put the brethren, verse 6, in remembrance of these things, we have to be reminded of these things. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You want to know what you should be preaching about? If you are a minister, a good minister of Jesus Christ, you should be teaching these things that we're to be reminded of, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. And we want to hold on to the faith, the common salvation. We want to hold on to these things. There was a time, even in the time of Paul, as the Bible was being given to man, the New Testament, the epistles, where the words of faith were no longer proclaimed. walked away from them and just did not include them in their discourse. Well, we want to include them, especially the good doctrine, the doctrine of salvation, the common salvation, whereunto thou hast attained. And I thought that that would bless you, to help you understand something that you should be paying attention to, that was called out by God himself and is in reinforced by our good ministers of Jesus Christ.